Hi, this is Flash Radio. We are doing our first podcast. We are going to podcast a workshop that we had at the Rampart. Anna from Indie Media gave us a very quick history of how Indie Media started. And then she went on about how to be a good citizen journalist. And we talked about accurate reporting. So here's the podcast. I hope you enjoy it.
Okay, some of them come as a result of the what we call the mainstream media actually being businesses. You don't hear the news, you have to buy the paper. Or if you don't buy the paper, if you listen to the radio, it's either it's usually paid for by advertisers who are buying audiences, who are, in order to get the audiences, then you feed them with what we call pieces of news. But that makes the whole setup to follow a certain agenda that those advertisers, which are usually big corporations, set up in the first place. So as a response to this, Indie Media was set up as a non-commercial network, group of groups, and actually from that response, we find the reasons for the current membership criteria and mission statements and principles of unity. So one of them is that Indie Media groups, Indie Media website will never be set up as commercial enterprises. Another thing is that there's no other advertisements in the website. Pictures and any other media are by default copyleft, but they are never sold to Indie Media. And well, there are issues about selling media that is posted on Indie Media website to mainstream media, but in principle this is not done. Another issue is it's a non-hierarchy organization. It has to be horizontal. All the groups are horizontally organized. No one has got to have a more say than anyone else. Decisions are made by consensus, and this is where there are mailing lists where decisions are made. They are all, well, as much as it is possible, they are all publicly archived and open for everyone to participate. Okay, Indie Media was created around 1999. It was taken from ideas from all over the world. For example, from London, they took the idea of doing video streamings. From other collectives, they took the idea of having a content management system that would allow to publish pieces of news or any media like text, video, audio, pictures in real time, as in you publish something and immediately you see it published. All this came together, most visibly in Seattle during the WTO demonstrations. And the distinctive feature of that website, as opposed to any other website that was elsewhere in the world before, and which made it an Indie Media site, was the publish button, which meant that for the first time people could publish things on a website without having to have a login or a password, or by means of the decision of some editorial team that would decide who would be published and what would not be published. So that is the main condition for a website to be considered inside the Indie Media network, that it has to have the publish button.
Maybe we can move away from the technical side of it and also talk about, you know, what it means to be a citizen journalist and why we should be doing it.
Okay, yes, as I said in the beginning, Indie Media was set up to overcome many of the shortcomings of the mainstream media. In the mainstream media, if you want something published, you either do a press release or you call a friendly journalist and get him or her to interview you and then writing the article. In both cases, there is either a journalist or an editor or both making the decision whether to publish that or not. Indie Media was created to get rid of that figure of the intermediary between the audience and the people who want to report. And what we have discovered as well is that the audience themselves want to publish something. For example, when there is a mass mobilization like it was against the WTO or now with the G8, people who are participating on those demonstrations or actions.
Do people that publish, are they giving us accurate news? A lot of people are switched off by Indymedia. They just think it's kind of like reporting things that we want to hear and it might not be accurate. I mean, I'm kind of guilty of it myself. I'm not that accurate. So what makes a good article? Because there are certain criteria that you should have accuracy. You should, if you're going to write a proper report, it should be well sourced, or shouldn't it be like that?
Administrators of Indymedia are well aware that people are put off by that. And for example, in Indymedia UK, we have decided to have kind of two levels in the newswire. And then if people want to just see the good reports, they go to the promoted newswire. And if you want to see everything, even the runs, everything, then you go to the standard newswire. So there are like two levels. There are articles that are hidden because they are discriminatory in any way or porn. And then there are articles that you don't want to be hidden because they're not discriminatory, they can be valid, but maybe they are rant or they are not relevant for people who just have, say, 5 minutes a day to read them. So from the newswire, from the articles that are not hidden, then some of them are promoted. And then there is the preparation of the middle column articles, which is to highlight the very good ones from the promoted newswire. That is a step to make it more readable for people who do not have much time or who have been put off so far. Then about the accuracy, the good thing about the reply button, the publish your comments button, is that you do, you know, for example, when an event is reported, then people can add their views. And I remember one very clear example. I know it might not be, you know, very often, but I do remember that when some people had been in some mass demonstration in Europe and they all came with different stories, different rumors they had heard. I went to the Indymedia site and there was one report of this event and there were about, I don't know, 50 comments. It was a long time to read, but at the end of the 50th comment, I knew I had a very clear idea of what had happened because of the different reports from different angles. And that is something that Indymedia is great about. I mean, especially when it all comes in one. It's not so good when many people, you know, report on the same thing in different postings, because it's just a little bit more laborious. That rests in the principle that you do not get information for free. What you get, I mean, I'm more and more convinced that what you get in the newspaper is entertainment. If you want actual information, you actually work for it, as in you read a lot, you have to read in the media, or you pay for it. There is no such thing as free information. Then yes, it does require an effort from the reader to actually look for the information and be prepared to read different views, which you can never ever have on a newspaper, however accurate it is. Then about accuracy, people who have studied journalism, we remember about objectiveness and accuracy. More mature courses, I think teachers more and more accept that there is no such thing as objectivity. You can aim to that, but something that we are very aware in Indymedia, simply choosing one piece of news against another piece of news, when you have limited space to publish something, that shows that there is no objectivity. You have to choose what to report on. The one kind of another thing that is very innovative about Indymedia is that it states its lack of objectivity. If you go to the mission statement, one of the sentences says Indymedia is not objective. We support passionate tellings of people's truth, but we do not aim at objectivity. We are very biased and we will not publish, for example, just for the fact that we don't allow racist postings or sexism. That means that we are biased against that, and everyone is biased. So we think that better than claim to want to be objective is being plain obvious. Look, we are not objective. What we would like you to do is to read different tellings of the truth so that you can have different sides of an event, of rules that make our report better than other reports.
Thank you for listening to our first podcast on Flash Radio. We'll be reporting live from the G8 starting 2nd of June right through to the 10th. We'll be covering the alternative summit, blockades, and everything else that's going to happen down there at the G8. So I hope you tune in. If you want to catch our website, which you probably know already, it's flashradio.wordpress.com. See you soon.